Narex Gladius slid from the salamander's neck with a wet shrutch. The legionary was dead before he'd cleaned the blade and was moving on to the next. Bodies from both sides littered the street. Of the three squads he had taken to eliminate the loyalists, only a handful remained. It had been bloody and harder fought than he had expected. The sniper had escaped. Again. This stuck in Narek's craw and irritated. Approaching the edge of the pit where the manufactory had collapsed, he thought of the ones who had escaped. An underground river flowed beneath this part of the city, connected to its drainage system. He had no map of those tunnels, no knowledge of their existence, or where the outflow would deposit anyone caught in the current, so he let it go. The loyalists were running out of places to hide. Even if it took him to the edge of the city and the lightning-blasted wastes beyond it, he would track them down. He had sworn, so it would be done. Or he would die in the attempt. Honour about one's duty, he felt, should still mean something. "Stop," he said, his boot pressed down on the chest of another half-dead enemy. But Narek was looking at Vogel, who was straddling a salamander's chest and was about to begin cutting flesh with his ritual knife. "What?" asked the word-bearer, head snapping round to regard the huntsman. "None of that." Narek left the other dying legionary where he was and walked over to Vogel. "I honor the Pantheon," Vogel hissed, evidently displeased. "You dishonor the deed, your kill," Narek replied, holding his gladius casually in his offhand. "Mutilate the human chaff, by all means, but these men were legion, once our brothers in arms. That should still mean something." Vogel went to rise, but Narek put the tip of his gladius to his throat, and he stopped in a half-crouch. "You overstep your bounds," hissed Vogel. "If I do, it'll mean this blade goes through your neck." Vogel didn't look like he wanted to back down just yet. "Dagon agrees with me," said Narek. Vogel followed the huntsman's gaze to the other sniper, who had his rifle trained and ready. The belligerent word-bearer raised his hands in a placatory gesture, and Narek let him step away. When he was certain Vogel was content just to curse him and not retaliate, Narek looked down on the stricken salamander his comrade had been about to defile. "Thank you," the warrior muttered, close to death. "It wasn't for you, legionary," Narek uttered and plunged the gladius into his heart. The sound of a turbine engine getting louder and closer made Narek turn. He saw the storm bird that belonged to Elias and wondered what had happened to bring him here. "Gather," he voxed to the others. "The Dark Apostle is here." Elias was wounded. He had also been paid a visit by Erebus himself. Standing before him in the lee of the landed Stormbird, it suddenly made sense to Narek why his master had come. He had been ordered to.
"Another failure?" asked Elias, surveying the carnage.
"Not entirely," the huntsman replied. He had removed his battle helm in the Dark Apostle's presence and held it in the crook of his arm. They were alone, insofar as the rest of the legionaries were standing guard or rounding up still-living prisoners. Narek wished dearly he'd had the time to give all of them clean deaths. Irritating Vogel was one thing. He wouldn't defy the Dark Apostle.
"Did you kill all of them and apprehend the human?"
"Not yet."
"A failure, then?"
Narek briefly bowed his head. "One I shall rectify."
"No, Narek, your chance has passed for this glory. Erebus himself comes and has asked me to eliminate our enemies and recapture the human John Grammaticus."
"He asked you, did he?"
"Yes," hissed Elias with more than a hint of anger. "I am his trusted ally in this."
"Of course, master," Narek responded coolly. His eyes strayed to the Fulgurite spear scabbarded at Elias's waist. It still gave off a faint glow and seemed to make the dark apostle uncomfortable to wear it. Narek realized the spear had somehow burned Elias's arm to all but a scorched mess.
"You are wondering if we were right to worship the Emperor as a god,"
Elias said to him when he noticed Narek looking at the sheathed spear.
"I am." "We were, brother. You are. But there are other gods, Narek, who would give us favor."
"I see no boon in it," he admitted.
Elias laughed.
"I could have you executed for that, for your lack of belief."
"I believe, master. That is the problem. I just do not like where that belief is taking us."
"You will come to like it, huntsman. You will embrace it, as we all will. For it is the desire of Lorgar and the Pantheon that we do so. Now," he added, growing bored of his sermon, "where is the man? Where is John Grammaticus?"
"He is almost certainly still with the Broken Legion survivors. Their trail won't be hard to track."
Elias dismissed the idea with a desultory wave of his hand.
"It's of no consequence. I can find him through different means."
He eyed one of the legionary prisoners, one yet to be given a clean death, and pulled out his ritual knife. Domados was alive, but somehow pinned. Since the battle had ended, they had been raking through the casualties, looking for survivors. He dimly recalled being dragged and half-heard guttural laughter from one of his captors. Part of his spinal column had been severed. He was paralyzed from the waist down. He also had several potentially fatal internal injuries and was too weak to fight back. His bionic eye no longer functioned, so he was left blinded in it. His organic one opened, and the view this received was of the ground. At the edge of his reduced vision, he thought he saw an open hand from a legionary lying on his back. The gauntlet was emerald green, the fingers unmoving. A bolter lay a few centimeters away from them.
"This one," he heard a voice say. He sounded cultured, almost urbane.
Firm, armored fingers seized the iron hand's chin and lifted it up so Domados could see his oppressors. Word-bearers. One, standing behind the other, had scripture painting his cheekbones in gold. His black hair was short with a sharp widow's peak. One of his arms was badly burned, and he held it protectively to his body. This was the cleric. It had to be. The other one who was holding Domardus's chin was a veteran, definitely a soldier in the most pugnacious sense of the word. He was flat-nosed but thin of face and carried a slight limp. Through dulled senses, Domados became aware that his wrists were bound with razor wire and he was attached to the side of a word-bearer's gunship. His breastplate had been removed, as well as his mesh under-armor, exposing the skin beneath.
"There is no other way?" asked the soldier.
The cleric drew forth a jagged ritual knife and Domados steeled himself for what he knew was coming next.
"None,"
answered the cleric, who traced a long nailed gauntlet across the flesh of the iron hand's cheek before taking up a chant.